How many of you guys were just singing just now? Okay. If you were singing and you were striving to sing to the Lord, do you realize you were exercising faith? You realize that? You guys are doing a great job because you're singing to a God that you cannot. You got it? So it starts with worship. It starts with saying, God, I will praise you even though I cannot see you. But I tell you, if you've ever experienced the Lord in worship, you know he's there. Pretty cool, huh? All right, so good job, guys. And I want to compliment you on that. Secondly, faith is, look at the board. It's looking beautiful. And I'm going to refer to that here in the next couple of sessions. But keep filling that out. Fill out as many things that God is teaching you about faith and about him. Okay? Quick review. Last night, what we talked about, faith is actually believing that God has a plan no matter how bad life circumstances get. Okay? Today, I want to talk to you guys about this. Faith is believing that God is with me. Faith is believing that God is with me in the hard circumstances of life. Most of the time when things get really cruddy, we really feel like God's just not right there with me. We're going to look at two accounts tonight. They're going to blow your mind. And I'm willing to bet many of you, if you've grown up in church, you'll actually have heard these accounts, these true accounts. But you're going to look at them a little differently tonight because you probably haven't thought about, there's a phrase in both of these accounts that tell us something about God. So what we're talking about, living by faith, can be pretty exciting. How many of you guys like the slide that you went on? So there's two things. Michael and I were talking just before this session. And Michael, where are you at? See him? All right, good. I can talk about him. He's outside. All right, good. So, John, permission? Okay, good. Permission? Can I talk about your brother? Good. All right, so he talked about that really takes faith. I was like, faith for what? It's a slide. Well, he had a life jacket on. He went out. Michael does not swim. So it takes a lot of faith in that life jacket. He talked about how it was exciting, and yet it was very scary. It was this idea I was clinging onto that life jacket, and as long as I could touch the ground, I was okay. But as soon as I couldn't touch the ground, it was, ugh, it's exciting, but it's scary. It's the same feeling that I have getting on a horse. I feel my heart rate rise. I feel excitement, and yet I feel terror. It's scary to me. Anybody relate to that one? Because you realize you have no control. You do not have control. And so I want to talk about this morning, and this morning I think is going to be a fairly short time together, is this. We go to step up. We get all excited about Jesus. We start living by faith. And then we go home, and life happens, and things are bad, and then we have no control. And what do? Some of you will go home. It'll be an exciting week. You're starting your summer. Things are great. Some of you guys, it'll be terrifying. With that in mind, what do I do when there seems to be no answers as to why bad things are happening? I want you to think that through. What do I do when there seems to be no answers? And maybe perhaps you go your whole life why there are no answers. One of the guys last night in a group mentioned about going through your parents' divorce. Why, God? Why is this happening, and why do I have to live with this? How do I trust God in the middle of bad news or pain? And where do I put my hope when there is no answer? I want you guys to grab your Bibles, turn to Hebrews chapter 11, because we're going to find two contrasts real quick this morning. Two contrasts that people experience when they trust God for what they cannot see. Now, faith is being sure of what we hope for and certain of what we cannot. You got it. All right. We're going to pick it up. Hebrews chapter 11, and we're going to start in verse 29. Let me ask the Lord to help us understand these verses. Father, please help us to understand your word and what it means and how it applies to our life. We need you. We need your help of your Holy Spirit. And I pray that you would just awaken these students and freshen their hearts so they can hear it. In your name we pray. Amen. All right, let's pick it up in verse 29. It says, by faith, the people passed through the Red Sea on dry land, But when the Egyptians tried to do so, they were drowned. Now, this is Moses and the people of Israel. After the Passover, they go through the Red Sea, and God parts the water. Verse 30, by faith, the walls of Jericho fell after the army had marched around them for 7 days. So the very first city they encounter as they're going back to the Holy Land is this city of Jericho. And the Bible says that God had a different plan. They were going to march around it, blow their trumpets, and let God take down the city. And he did. Verse 31, by faith, the prostitute Rahab, because she welcomed the spies, was not killed with those who were disobedient. Everybody say, what's that all about? By faith, the prostitute Rahab was saved? What? So as they entered the city, they found a woman who was a prostitute who sold her body to men for money. And as they began spying on the city, she recognized that God was with them and that their God was the true God. And so she actually housed the spies and protected the spies because she feared the Lord. And I want you to get this. This is not just about people who clean up their life and then come to Jesus. This is a woman who's acting as a prostitute. She welcomed the spies in faith, and the Lord spared her and her household. Pretty cool, huh? Verse 12, and what more shall I say? I do not have time to talk about Gideon, Barak, Samson, and Jephthah, about David and Samuel and the prophets. You may have heard of some of those names. Some pretty cool accounts. What's the most famous account of David? Goliath. Yeah, by faith, for sure. Verse 33, who through faith they conquered kingdoms, they administered justice, and they gained what was promised, and they shut the mouths of lions, they quenched the fury of the flames, and they escaped the edge of the sword, whose weakness was turned to strength, and who became powerful in battle, and they routed foreign armies. And women received back their dead, raised to life again. So, real quick, this first group of people, they trusted God for what they could not see, and their life was exciting. Like, people raised back to life who were dead? That's exciting, don't you think? Would that be a highlight of your week if somebody died and came back to life right here at camp? That'd be pretty exciting, right? They've routed armies. They knocked down walls. All these things by trusting the Lord for what they could not see. Let me real quick. When you go into battle, if you're in the military, a good planner, what he'll do is he'll start counting the size of your army, and then he'll send in spies to count the size of their army, and then speculate, can we win? These movies where like 10 people go in and kill like 500 people, doesn't happen, okay? Apart from God, that is. Not normal. In normal military stuff, they measure the size of armies so that they know if they can beat them or they should surrender. These situations, the Lord says, do not count your army, but trust me. And again, the Old Testament is full of these accounts. So these first set of verses, faith in the Lord can be very, very, very exciting. Exciting. I mean, tell me that would not be cool to live during that time. Yes. But we're going to continue reading. In fact, it's actually mid-verse. Look at verse 35 again. Women receive back their dead. They were raised to life again. There were others who were tortured. They refused to be released so that they may gain an even better resurrection. That's another word, reward. Some faced jeers, mockings, and floggings, and even chains and imprisonment. They were put to death by stoning. They were sawn in two. They were killed by the sword. They went about in sheepskins and goatskins. They were in poverty, destitute, persecuted, and mistreated. The world was not worthy of them. They wandered in deserts and mountains and in caves and in holes in the ground. Everybody say, oh. These people genuinely trusted God for what they could not see. And what did they get? Mocking, beating, chains, prison, stoned to death. They were cut in two. Remember I said it's PG-13 from the beginning? The Bible actually does not hide the ugly. And what I wanted to tell you today is, believing in Christ does not guarantee your life is going to be better here on this earth. It doesn't. If I stood before you and told you that, life will just get better and it's just an uphill going, this is, things are great, I would be lying to you and I would not be teaching you from the Bible. There's something that all these people have in common. We're going to talk about it tomorrow. But one thing we know for sure is this. When life is hard, and I would say cut in two is a bad day, would you say? Okay? We're going to discover something about God. The question comes up, as we trust Him, can we expect to be tortured? Maybe. Can we expect hardship? Perhaps. Trusting God in this life does not guarantee anything, but it does guarantee one thing about God. It guarantees this. God has a plan. He is with me in my suffering, and He will reward me in eternity if I will trust Him in this life with things I cannot see. Faith believes that God is with me no matter what. And tonight we're going to look at these two true stories that people faced terrible circumstances. Actually, we're going to pull two of these accounts out tonight. And we're going to talk about, is God really with people in the middle of terrible circumstances? So two questions for you. And then you guys got some discovery to do today, don't you? Yes? All right. Do hard circumstances mean that God has left me? Or do hard circumstances mean that God is closer to me than ever before? Think that through. Do hard circumstances mean that God has left me and abandoned me? Or do hard circumstances mean that God is closer to me than ever before? We'll find out tonight what that looks like in the life of people who experience the second half, who are experiencing not just persecution, but intended death. Let's pray. Father, I don't even pretend to know what students are going through, but today I know that faith can be really exciting, and it's these mountaintop experiences that bring joy and fun, and it is exciting to follow you and believe in you and trust you for what we cannot see. And yet sometimes, God, I have to acknowledge there's times that faith is hard. It's not exciting. It's terrifying. But Lord, help our students here. Help me. Help me. Help me to believe you for what I cannot see. Lord, you promised to never leave us. So in the middle of our circumstances that we find ourselves, help us to hear that still small voice that says, I'm here. We love you. We praise you. In your name we pray. Amen.